SCARS, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the SCARS organization, follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 and Good Amateur Practice. This SCARS server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System provided by W8MW. And all contacts and requests for information, the net control. When connect with another station is made, please move off the system and establish your contact direct so that the net may continue. In fairness to all, short-time stations will not be recognized as such. All stations will be worked in the order in which they are checked in. Information regarding our operation may be found at SCARS, SCARSVOIP.com. I am your net control for this session. My call is KE5ALF. And my name is Greg. I am located in Grand Blanc, Michigan, with a current temperature right now of 37 degrees. Prior to starting, I would like to ask if traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled at this time. Do we have anyone celebrating their birthday or any other holiday or at this time? Okay, seeing none, this is the monthly Thursday Net, Thursday Information Net Open Forum, or TIN for short. This net is conducted to provide information pursuant to amateur-related subjects and or other areas of general interest to those participating. All are encouraged to participate and ask questions of our guest speakers or speakers. Now let me advise that all stations connected at this net might be recorded for future presentation on our website or podcast. All stations participating will be a part of that recording. I am filling in for the lovely K6SUN, who at this present time is up here in my home state of Michigan visiting family and friends. So at this time, I would like to turn it over to KY6B. Are you there, sir?
Yes, I am. Good evening, Greg. No, we're just going to roll this right over and let David over there in Wales get things started. Good evening to one and all, and enjoy. GW8SZL from KY6V, over.
KY6V from GW8SZL. Good evening there, Gordon. And I'd just like to welcome everybody to the December edition of the Thursday Information Net, also known as the TI. We're going to be talking about the Linux operating system. Okay, so that technology giant Microsoft recently was very close to achieving the major milestone of 1 billion computing devices running the Windows 10 operating system, thus commanding the largest market share in terms of desktops. Linux, on the other hand, powers just 2% of the desktop, though it is the most popular in the world. Now, how can that be? The reality of Linux in 2023 is that it powers about 90% of personal and enterprise computing devices around the world. And this is partly because Google's Android and Chrome operating systems are based on the Linux, not to mention that Linux is a platform of choice for server applications, web hosting services, cloud computing data centers, supercomputers, and many enterprise networks. Deployed by NASA runs on Linux, as does the IBM Watson Artificial Intelligence System, which is powered by the SUSE Linux Enterprise Server 11. If you have been considering giving Linux a try, but are unsure of where to start, the thing is that you are likely halfway there, because you are already familiar with the world of Unix-like operating systems. Windows, macOS, Android, iOS, Chrome OS, and even the BlackBerry QNX OS are Unix-like systems. Most Android smartphone users are able to get the hang of iOS if they switch to an iPhone. And the same can be said about macOS users who switch to Windows. They may not fully enjoy the experience, but they have an almost intuitive understanding of the functionality. This Unix-like aspect of Linux means that you will quickly get used to it once you try it out. Now, what exactly is Linux? Linux is an operating system, OS, just like Windows or Mac OS. It is a platform that manages all the hardware components of your computer. It helps software applications communicate with computing devices. Development of Linux dates back to the early 1990s. Linus Torvalds, a Finnish computer science student, decided to version of an operating system for a PC he owned at the time, a 486 clone built on Intel x86 architecture. It should be noted that Torvalds started off developing the Linux kernel, and this is a task that he continues to perform to this day, along with the support of the free and open source development community. The kernel is a critical program coded for the purpose of controlling everything in relation to the operating system and the functionality of computing devices. With the above in mind, it is important to clarify that Linux is a name that can interchangeably refer to the kernel or to the operating system family. Since Linux is at the heart of the free and open source software FOSS movement, there are quite a few operating system variants, most of them geared towards desktop and laptop systems, but some are coded for specific devices in mind. Android, for example, is another device equipped with touchscreen interfaces. Chrome OS is a Linux variant compiled to run on modern laptops, such as Chromebooks. Red Hat Enterprise Linux is a commercial operating system intended for servers. Now, these are all Linux distributions, often shortened to distros. For the purpose of this guide, we will reference FOSS Linux desktop distributions, which are the best way to get started. At a minimum, you will need a desktop or laptop, and ideally a USB drive to run a Linux distribution, which you may not even have to install. As with any operating system, Linux has a bootloader. So when you start your computer, the basic input-output system, BIOS, starts running through a sequence of events to make sure that all your equipment is working and able to communicate properly. It then directs the software to execute the bootloader, which loads the kernel into memory. Some lightweight Linux distributions, such as Puppy Linux, take up less than 300 megabytes and load both the kernel and the operating system from RAM. The bootloader finishes once input-output requests such as a mouse, keyboard, video display, audio, and graphical user interfaces are functional. Daemons. As a multitasking operating system, Linux utilizes daemons to run in the background waiting for requests to be made. If you're only testing a Linux distribution, but you may not become aware of daemons since they are background processes, similar to what you see in the Windows Task Manager or Mac OS Activity Monitor. Okay, this is GW8SZL. Is there anybody out there who would like to comment or questions? If so, please come now with your call sign, GW8SZL.
Victor Echo 7, Papa Golf Kilo. Oh, just checking in. South Cars number 2319.
Okay, Victor Echo 7, Papa Golf Kilo. Welcome, Ken, and I got your South Cars numbers, Echo 2319. And thank you for checking in there and saying hi on the December. Is there anybody else who'd like to check in? Got any comments or questions? Please call now.
Victor Kilo 2, Delta Yankee, K2DY, Robin.
Okay, I've got Victor Kilo 2 Delta Yankee there. Hey, Robert. Like to go ahead, sir.
Yes, good afternoon. This is Robert, BK2DY, actually good morning, 11:11. Robert, BK2DY in Kellyville, but all the highly urban sprawl that is Sydney. 25 degrees Celsius here right now. Mostly clear sky, a little bit of clouds, but not much. Beautiful day. Thank you for the talk on I use it on Raspberry support on Linux servers for web administration, so I really like all of the information that you provide. VK2DY, Merry Christmas.
DK2DY from GW8SRL. Okay there, Robert. I wish we had your temperatures here. We are currently sat at 11 Charlie, but it is 12 minutes past midnight here. We're now officially into Friday morning. So, and I'll note it on the Raspberry Pi as well. Well, as you know, I love Raspberry Pis. And both the ones you eat and the small board computer. Okay, is there anybody else who'd like to check in or got any comments? Great, ask that out. Okay, hearing nobody else, thank you, Ken, VG7PGK, and Robert, VK2DY. And that's Whiskey 4, Romeo Foxtrot, Juliet, or W4 Radio Frequency with the program this evening. So over you there, Chief. It's all yours, my friend.
Thanks, oh great petrified one. You're sizzling right along there. And good evening, good morning to anybody and everybody out there on the Thursday, the South Cars Thursday. Next, we're going to talk about shells. Many Linux distributions also allow users to access the operating system shell through a command line interface that can be managed through a terminal application. Text-based CLI commands can be used to communicate with the kernel, and this is something that scares some potential Linux users. But it is similar to typing CMD from the Windows Start menu and inputting commands reminiscent of the DOS era, which stands for Disk Operating System. We will get back to the shell and CLI commands later in this guide. Let's see, graphical server. This is where you get the Windows-like GUI, which stands for Graphical User Interface, that everyone is used to. Most Linux distributions use the X window system, also known as X11 or just plain X, which handles all the graphical elements on the screen as they relate to the user's mouse or touchscreen movements. Some Linux distributions, particularly the lighter versions, boot into a terminal-like environment that prompts users to type xwin command. This is similar to the early Windows X days of the 16-bit era, which booted users into DOS and required them to access the GUI. And with the X, the desktop environment. This is the piece that every user is almost most familiar with. In the Linux landscape, there are many environments to choose design language systems such as Aero and Metro, and the Aqua user interface of Mac has lots such as KDE, Mate, Cinnamon, GNOME, XFCE, and others. Many Linux desktops emulate Windows for the purpose of making it easier on the users, but since they are open source systems, they can be configured to emulate Apple GUI systems, and this is often the case with KDE. In some cases, it can be transformed for specific purposes. One such example is the Sugar OS desktop, which serves as an educational platform. Choosing a Linux distribution to test. To date, there are over 600 Linux distributions to choose from. Most of them free to install, and most of them based on the following main distributions or distros. We have the Arch, Debian, OpenSUSE, and Slackware. After decades of Linux development, the consensus for newcomers is to start with a Debian-based distribution. Debian is often referred to as a true universal operating system because it can be installed on a device with the right configuration. You may not want to choose a Slackware-based distribution unless you are working with a very old. Arch-based distributions tend to be more technical. With this in mind, the following recommendations are Debian-based. Linux Mint. Linux Mint is currently one of the most popular distributions. It has one of the cleanest desktop environments in the market, a nice mix of Windows and Mac OS elements, and for new users, Mint comes loaded with tons of options. It functions similarly to Windows 7 and 10 with the Start menu and application selection process. It is variable with a variety of hardware, even only 64-bit. For those Windows to Linux, this is the best option. We also have Ubuntu. Ubuntu is also a good option for Windows use. Ubuntu is like the cool granddad who has been there, done that, and is still alive and kicking. Ubuntu is built on being a universal platform built for average users and not just techies. For someone starting out, Ubuntu is great, plus there's a ton of helpful documentation and community support in the form of forums and other web communities. Let me grab a nickel. Then we have Puppy Linux. Puppy Linux is an Ubuntu-based distribution specifically compiled and packaged to bring old hardware back to life. This is a lightweight distribution that can run on RAM, which means that the entire operating system functionality does not require a hard drive installation. Older Windows netbooks that stopped receiving support years ago can be updated with Puppy Linux, and this operating system is also a deal for users who just want to get a taste of how Linux runs on their hardware. A similar option would be SlyTaz, which can run on a package weighing less than 200 megabytes. All right, at this time, I'd like to ask for check-ins. This is W4RFJ with the South Cars with the Thursday Information Net. Please come now, W4RFJ. Looking for check-ins. Okay, well, let's see. I guess it's over to KE5ALF, the Alien Life Form. Up in Michigan, W4RFJ, the microphone is yours, sir, and thanks for being there.
Distributions such as Mint and Ubuntu are packaged with useful software such as LibreOffice for productivity. It's like Microsoft Office, but free. Firefox for web browsing, VLC for playing video and audio files, and GIMP, G-I-M-P, for imaging editing. Pidgin for instant messages, Audacity for audio editing, and others. Best of all, most Linux distros connect to FOSS, F-O-S-S, repositories, which handles hundreds of apps, can be downloaded and installed along with all required dependencies. A neat aspect of Linux distributions is that you are able to take them for a test drive before deciding to make them your primary operating system. This is possible because most Linux distros support live CD functionality, which means the kernel, graphical, server, desktop environment, and applications can be booted from removable media such as USB drives. In many cases, Linux distributions can also be tested within virtual machines, but the best method is to use USB flash drives. Major distros, which is software, such as Mint and Ubuntu, can be tested by first visiting their download pages and looking for the right ISO file to test. USB drives with at least 2 gigabytes or storage are recommended. Otherwise, you may want to test higher distributions that are full function. Since your USB will become a computing device, you will want to make sure it is properly formatted before you download and install the distribution. Insert the USB with the ISO image into your desktop or laptop before restarting. You may need to set the boot priority of your BIOS or USB, and this can be accomplished by pressing one to grab a nickel here real quick. ESC, escape. Function 2, Function 8, or Function 10. When the BIOS setup utility appears, use navigate to the boot priority menu and set USB as the top default option. Renew BIOS settings. Allow the computer to restart and follow the prompts. You may not want to choose a Slackware-based distribution unless you are working with old hardware. An ARC-based distribution tends to be more technical, which in mind, the following recommendations are given based. Linux Mint is currently one of the most popular distributions as it has one of the cleanest desktop environments in the market. A nice mix of Windows and Mac OS elements. For new users, Mint comes loaded with tons of options. It functions similarly to Windows 7 or 10, with the start menu and the application selections process. Fast and compatible with an older computer, preferably 64-bit. Those making the switch from Windows to Linux, this is the best option. Let me buy an echo here again. Ubuntu. Ubuntu is also a good option for Windows users looking to make the switch. Ubuntu is like the cool granddad who has been there, done that, and is still alive and kicking. Well, missed the page, I'm sorry. Back up. The main Linux components, a live USB session include Display Manager to log in, a Window Manager to handle your apps, a manager that also handles Windows, panels, menus, dash interfaces, and core applications. Let me grab a nickel real good. Once you finish the boot process, you should see the desktop environment, just like Windows. Most every variant of Linux will have a desktop environment. After a few minutes, you should easily be able to find the taskbar, the notification area, the application menu, where to change settings, the date, time, and so on. Using the Linux terminal app, who are most technically inclined can keep things even simpler by testing a terminal-only Linux distribution such as Tiny Core Linux or Mini Debian. Doing this will boot the OS right into and with GUI elements in itself. You will be looking at a terminal from which you can type such as pwd after the current directory you are in, is, which displays a list of files in the current directory, cd. Which means move to another directory. Make directory creates a new folder within the current directory. Touch files as long as the file type extension is specified. For example, new text. MV transfers files from one directory to another, such as rename files. RM delete files. RMDIR deletes directories after they have been clarified are cleared of files. Man, this is the most that provides descriptions and information about Linux commands. Apropos, another useful command that is even more convenient that you can specify topics. Let's say you want to learn more about the Linux file system hierarchy. In this case, you can type apropos, play Linux manual pages that include the word hierarchy. At this time, let me ask for check-ins or comments. Okay, seeing none, let's turn this over to KB there, sir.
I certainly am there, Elf. Thank you, and good evening. Good evening, everybody else on South Cars. KB9EWG Echo 2289 is my South Cars number. Linux processes and tasks. Many system tools and utilities come packaged inside most Linux distributions that feature a GUI desktops, and they individually include task managers similar to the one used in Windows. The GNOME System Monitor, for example, is one of the best reasons you should choose Linux distributions with this desktop. The way that it displays running processes and various options it offers for management is a powerful tool. All information displayed by the GNOME system monitor the other GUI task managers. Shell which means that you can view them and handle them with the CLI terminal commands, such as top dislike. This is like a command, except that it displays running processes sorted by how much computing resources you are using. You can also try HTOP, if it already is installed in your Linux distro. It will display processes in the GUI-like fashion, but still within the terminal. Let me reset here. Yes, Papa Sierra, that is. Similar to the top command, PS displays running, but it benefits from two arguments, minus A and grep. If you are running a Firefox session, for example, you can see all the processes used by this open source browser. PSTREE, that is, graphical way to display Linux processes in a nested tree format. Kill. Adds a signal to the kernel to kill a specific process. To successfully use kill, it must be followed by the process ID number, which can be displayed by any of the commands listed above. Pkill. When you want to stop all processes involved or invoked by a running application, the pkill command will do so, and it will accept the app name when you type pkill Firefox. All the product. Kill all is another way to invoke pkill. Okay, I got pumped off the page here. Just got to go back. Keep it on you. All right. So, xkill. In some cases, pkill command stop the GUI running application, but xkill command will take care of any empty windows floating around. Understanding Linux permissions, similar to Windows operating system, Linux account experience. Its default includes measures to prevent users from accessing file accounts. To discover the permissions you have upon installation, you will have to launch and type in -i. The command above will display a list of files in long format. This lets you see the permissions assigned. The first column on the left displays a string that corresponds to the read, write, and execution. You can see your RWX before your user account name on the first column. This means you can read, execute the file in question. The RWX characters have been replaced by a dash character. It means that permissions is missing. In the case of an account that is locked with a password, there is a good chance that you will see a dash instead of RWX. Permissions can be changed and managed from the CLI with the chmod command. But you will have to make yourself a first. In many Debian-based Linux distributions, such as Ubuntu, a root account password before using the CH, and you can also do so as follows. You can do a sudo add user. Here you type your username and password. At the prompt, you set a secure. Now you can change the modes with the chmod command. Here's an example. chmod vx project.txt or txt. The example above adds read, write, and execution permissions for a current user with regard to the text, file named project, and file named project. The plus argument can be changed to a minus a more efficient method of managing permissions, at least in Debian-based distros. It is to install the EICIEL Excel utility, I'm not sure how that's quite pronounced there, which provides a GUI method that is easy to understand. Connecting to the internet, I'm going to reset here. Okay, being able to connect to the internet right off the bat is one of the reasons you will want to stick to major desktop distributions such as Ubuntu, Mint, then compiled and updated of network card drivers. At this time, I'm looking for anybody with check-ins, comments, or anything else at this time here. Okay, at this point, we're going to prepare the closing of the tonight's program. Let me say, Linux operating system is a proven and tried system. Places throughout the world, it leaves itself its position to add on packages to its family agenda. With all that said, the informational net, Thursday informational net is closing. Thank you for being with us tonight. This is KVNET-EW saying good night and closing the session. And I'm gonna take one more round of checks before I secure it completely. Anybody wants to check in this time here? This is KVNET-EW. Okay, this is the SCARS UIP, the Thursday Information Net. I'm now closing this net and thanking you for being with us tonight. This is KV9EW saying goodnight and closing the session. Over to normal amateur use. KV9EWG is now clear. 7-3.